सर्वश्रेष्ठ पियुषा सर्ववेदिक सत्फला सर्वसिद्धांत रत्नाद्या सर्वलोके कृतकृपदा सर्वभागवत प्राणा श्रीमद भागवतम प्रभो कलिद्वंतुरतादित्य श्री कृष्ण परिवर्तिता परमानंद पताय प्रेम वर्षक्षराय ते सर्वत सर्व सेव्याय श्री कृष्णाय नमोस्तुते मदे गबंधु मद संगेन मद गुरोर मद महादना मद निस्तारक मद भाग्य मद आनंद नमोस्तुते असारु सारु तथाय नाति नचुच तारका हानमुच कदाचन मम प्रेम नुरत कंथय स्फुरा ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय It's all right. The only problem is this. What time should we stop? Huh? 8:45. This chapter is pretty interesting. Basically, Akrura obtained perfection by Vandana, offering prayers. So, not this chapter, but chapter 40 is really, really noteworthy for devotees because he's spilling his heart to the Lord. And we should all note it very nicely. And but here's this what happened when he saw when Krishna and Balaram were on the chariot and he's in the Yamuna. Now basically Yamuna shifted. Akura got basically a half an hour walk from Krishna Balaram Mandir now. Like that. And the Yamuna has shifted. Like that. It's different. It's a different location than it is now. So than it is was then. So the Yamuna has shifted. That's the idea. So actually Akura went pretty far, where he picked up Krishna Balaram and Nandagram and went to Akuragat is really, really far. It's a good drive. I'd say even now, by modern vehicles, it probably takes about 45 minutes by modern vehicles. By chariot, probably would have taken 4 or 5 hours, likely, in those days, to move. It was a pretty good distance. All right. So this chapter describes how Akura informed Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram of Kamsa's plans and activities in Mathura, what the gopis cried out in distress when Krishna left for Mathura. There's actually a place, there's a lake created by Radharani's tears when the gopis tried to stop the chariot. And Krishna continued on to Mathura and the gopis cried and the tears, but Radharani, there's a whole lake created from those tears. Like that. It's a pretty far out place. And it's between Nandagram and Vrindavan. It's in between. So it's an interesting place, actually. What the gopis cried out in distress when Krishna left for Mathura, the vision of Lord Vishnu's abode that Akura saw within the water of Jamuna. When Krishna and Balaram offered Akura great respect and comfortably seated him on a couch, he felt that all the desires he had reflected on while traveling to Vrindavan were now fulfilled. After the evening meal, Krishna asked Akura whether his trip had been peaceful and whether he was well. The Lord also inquired about how Kamsa was behaving towards their family members. Finally, he asked why Akura had come. Akura described how Kamsa had been persecuting the Yadavas, what Narada had told Kamsa, and how Kamsa had been treating Vasudeva cruelly. Akura also spoke of Kamsa's desire to bring Krishna and Balaram to Mathura to kill them on the pretext of their seeing the bow sacrifice and engaging in the wrestling match. Krishna and Balaram laughed out loud when they heard this. They went to their father Nanda and informed him of Kamsa's orders. Nanda then issued an order to all the residents of Raja that they should collect various offerings for the king, prepare to go to Mathura. The young gopis were extremely upset to hear that Krishna and Balaram would be going to Mathura. They lost all external awareness and began to remember Krishna's pastimes. Condemning the Creator for separating them from him, they began to lament. They said that Akrura did not deserve his name. Not Krura, cruel, since he was cruel to be taking away their dear most Krishna. It must be that fate is against us, they lamented, because otherwise the elders of Raja would have forbidden Krishna to leave. So let us forget our shyness and try to stop Lord Madhava from going. End quote. With these words, the young coward girls began to chant Krishna's names and cry. But even as they wept, Akura began taking Krishna and Balaram to Mathura in his chariot. The coward men of Gokul followed behind on their wagons, and the young gopis also walked behind for some distance. But then they became placated by Krishna's glances and gestures and pacified by a message from him that I will return. With their minds completely absorbed in Krishna, the coward girls stood as still as figures in a painting until they could no longer see the chariot flag or the dust cloud being raised on the road. Then, chanting Krishna's glories all the while, they despondently returned to their homes. Akura halted the chariot at the bank of the Jamuna so Krishna and Balaram could perform the ritual of purification and drink some water. After the two lords had gotten back onto the chariot, Akura took their permission to bathe in the Jamuna. As he recited Vedic mantras, he was startled to see the two lords standing in the water. Akura came out of the river and returned to the chariot, for he saw the lords still sitting. Then he returned to the water to find out if the two figures he had seen there were real or not. What Akura saw in the water was four-armed Lord Vasudev. His complexion was dark blue like a flesh rain cloud. He wore yellow garments and lay on the lap of a thousand-hooded Anantasesha. Lord Vasudev was receiving the prayers of the perfected beings, celestial serpents and demons. He was encircled by his personal attendants. Serving him were his many potencies, such as Sri, Pushti, and Nila. And while Brahma and other demigods sang his praises, Kura rejoiced at this vision and, in joining his palms in supplication, began to pray the Supreme Lord in a voice choked with emotion. Text number one. Sri Shuku Uvacha Shuko Bhavishta Paryanke Rama Krishna Romandita Lebe Manoratan Sarvan Patiyan Sachakaraha. Sukadeva Goswami said, having been honored so much by Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna, Akura, seated comfortably on a couch, felt that all of the desires he had contemplated on the road were now fulfilled. Basically, they really shouldn't have written this shloka, because you're supposed to write the shloka on the board where the purport is, like that. So I suppose we should just read further until we hit a purport. Basically, that's pretty good. That's till shloka number 12. Kim alabhyam bhagavati prasanne srinaketane tathapi tatpara rajan nahi vanchanti kinchana. My dear king, what is unattainable for one? What is unattainable for one who has satisfied the Supreme Personality of God at the shelter of the Goddess of Fortune? Even so, those who are dedicated to his devotional service never want anything from him. 3. Shayantana asanam kritava bhagavan devaki suta suritsu ritam kamsasya prapachanyach Shikir Shittam. After the evening meal, Krishna, the son of Devaki, asked Akura how Kamsa was treating their dear relatives and friends and what the king was planning to do. Text number 4. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Tata Somyagata Kaschit Svagatam Bhadram Astuva Api Sva Gyati Bandhunam Anamitvam Animayam. Supreme Lord said, my dear gentle Uncle Akrura, was your trip comfortable? May all good fortune be yours. All our well-wishing friends and relatives, both close and distant, happy and good health. Text 5. Kim nu na kushalang priche edamane kulamaye kungze matula namnagna nanga svanam na tat prajasucha. But my dear Akura, as long as King comes with the disease of our family goes by the name maternal uncle is still prospering, why should I even bother to ask about the well-being of our family members and his other subjects? 6. Aho asmad abudapuri pitror vrinjanam aryayo yad yadhetu putra maranam yadhetur bandunam traya. Just see how much suffering I have caused my offenseless parents. Because of me, their sons were killed and they themselves imprisoned. Wow, we're lucky. Here's a purport. Purport by the servants of His Divine Grace, Sri Srimati Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Shloka number 6. Not bad. Because Krishna had heard a prophecy that the 8th son of Devaki would kill him, he tried to kill all her children. For the same reason, he imprisoned her and her husband, Vasudev. Vrindavane ramanare tiprasiddha bhumo tatrapi krishna balarama suparamule jnanam paramparamai krishna sudharma chuktam dandastu deva prabhupada namo namaste. Sangasara dukkha jaladau patitasya kama krodadina krama korai kavali kritasya Durvashana Nikarijasya Narasayasya Chaitanya Chandramama Dehi Padavalambam Jaladara Shashivarno Gopavesha Kishoro Sahacharagana Vrindai Kridamana Vrajesho Natabara Jatavesho Nilapitam Baradyo Jagadajananahi To Ramakrishna Nato Asmi Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sandubeva Chapritanam Pavinibhya Vaishnavibhyo Namo Nama Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. See, externally, Krishna's behaving like an ordinary person who's Manushavat. You know, it's stated Manushavat, just like a human being, you know, like this. So he's saying, oh, just see how much problem we've caused our parents. Because of me and Balarama being their sons, therefore all their sons were killed and family members are tortured and harassed and like that. Manushavat. Actually, anything that happens to a devotee is simply a test of their resolve. What are they made out of? When the going gets rough, the rough get going. A Vaishnava and Vaishnavi of substance takes obstacles and turns it into opportunities. That's all. And looks internally. Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to me? Krishna must want it. You know? And, well, karmadi nirtahati kintu cha bhakti bhajan. Brahmasimita mentions that whatever reaction a devotee gets, the karma is reduced. So a Vaishnava and Vaishnavi of substance thinks, I only get the slaps I deserve. Nothing will happen to me unless Krishna wants it. You know, that's the idea. And there must be some purpose. Otherwise, Krishna wouldn't cause it, do it. Because he's the well-wisher of his devotees. Well-wisher means they give everything. The child cannot demand only sweets and no slaps. Sometimes, Prabhupada said, sometimes he gives slap also. You know, he gives you rasgulla or he gives you slap, but he's father. So basically, that's Krishna's nature, you know. And a Vaishnava and Vaishnavi of substance thinks, why is that happening to me? Krishna must have some plan, that's all. And let me just tolerate it and think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, he states in Gita, Krishna states in Gita chapter 18, verse 58, Chaitasa sarva durgani matapasara terasyasi. If you think about me in all difficulties, you'll cross over all difficulties by my grace. Now, Krishna's not a liar. The gopis would like to say that sometimes because Krishna doesn't surrender to them as fast enough, you know. But basically, the coward boys will never accept that. My best friend's a liar? My best friend, how could my best friend be a liar? My best friend's never a liar, you know. They'll never accept it in their mind that their best friend's a liar, you know. Sure, he cheats sometimes. Sure, he's cunning sometimes, you know, like that, you know, like this. But he's not a liar. Everything he said, some people say, well, you know, he said he promised to come back, but he didn't come back. But in Padma Purana, it's mentioned that he did. When he killed Danukasura, he came from Dwarka to Mathura, killed Danukasura, and spent 2 months in Vrindavan. It's not mentioned in the Mool Shlokas of Srimad Bhagavatam, but it is mentioned in the Shastras. So Krishna did come back to Vrindavan. And Krishna did liberate them. It's interesting stuff. So now we're going to give everybody just a taste of what we're going to do tonight. Now, this is actually some pramanams from Hari Bhakti Vilas. Now, it's not easy. Prabhupada's godbrother, Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj, in 1996 in Radhakund, said, nobody should be proud of themselves for doing nirjal for 24 hours. Previously, it was 2 days. Who's doing that? Now, Jagran, staying up all night, that's tough. How do you do it? Basically, you do it by indefatigable determination. In Radha Damodar Party, we had, you know, we were the stay-back crew. So, you know, like during festivals, Janmasmi, Gaur Purnima, you know, you're cooking for the crowd, you know. So for days, literally, like this. So sometimes we had 3-4 days worth of japa to chant. We're chanting only 16. So there was rules. For post 10 p.m. late night japa, don't stop moving, don't stop chanting, and don't sit down. You do any of those three things, your japa's toast. Don't stop moving, don't stop chanting, don't sit down. Now, who's got time to meet your friends and dance all night? Kadasi means you make time. So basically, it depends on kirtan, like that. So we're going to describe a few things. What we're going to do is basically have not only tradition, but we're going to do it with a little twist. We're going to do an Abhishek of my deities late at night. Why? Because Ekadasi is transcendental. That's why. You know, we put the deities to rest as a service to them. Are the deities asleep? No. Because they sometimes wake up their pujari. Their pujari is like, wake up, stupid. You have to service, you know. Who's waking who, you know. Happens all the time, you know, in every place of the world, you know. We're putting the deities to rest as a service. Actually, the deities are not asleep at all. The deities are there completely, all night long. It's not a problem. So that's one thing. Next thing. On Dwadasi Tithi, I'm going to bathe the deity tonight on behalf of the next day. Why? Now, what do you do in the temples? When Dadasi happens, you have to look at the jikal, what time the tithi starts. Like this. Breakfast has to be, the Dwadasi tithi has to elapse 25% before the breakfast happens. This means basically the Dwadasi tithi is going to happen a lot earlier than the breakfast is. So, in Hari Bhakti Vilas, chapter 13, verse 262 through 268, it's not quoted here, says, if you bathe the deity on the Dwadasi morning, one pramanam that Sanatan Pad gives us, all of your pious activities become finished. Another pramanam is 2 weeks of the piety of your worship go to the demon Vataka. And basically that's it. You know, other sampradayas are doing what they want to, you know, and like that. What are we supposed to do? Just wipe them with a wet cloth and dress them up. That's practical. That's what's practical in our temples and other world. Just wipe them with a wet cloth and dress them up. So, there's a couple reasons. So that's one. Next, it keeps the pujaris busy. me, you know, at 11 p.m. when it gets tough. You stay busy. You keep moving. So it keeps you going. Okay? Three, if there's any keratineers, then they're just, most of them are just basically waiting there until the Abhishek is done. They'll grab their charanamrita and go home to conk out for 4 hours or whatever before they got to go to work or whatever it is, I think it is. So next, the other reason is when you break fast with charanamrita after having been fasting, for an old dog like me, I'm 56, that means you'll have maybe, instead of three loose motions, you'll probably have one. If you're a young puppy, you won't have any at all. If you drink charanamrita, like a liter of charanamrita laced with heavy yogurt. That's the idea. Then KISS, keep it simple, stupid. That was the mantra for fundraising that Sridhar Maharaj gave me years back. So basically, for 24 hours, however long you fasted, eat simple. What do? You eat khichdi, fruits for half of the day, something like that, you know? And, or sometimes some people would eat the whole day. Just eat some fruits, eat some khichdi. Don't eat anything fancy. If you eat anything heavy, woo, watch out, because your digestive system is not ready for that heavy stuff. So don't eat anything heavy. Now, Krishna can eat anything. Doesn't mean you can, you know? So we should break with Mahaprasadam. Yeah, sure. Just touch a tulsi leaf to your mouth and drink some charanamrita. Then you can take any Mahaprasadam. But choose that Mahaprasadam really light. If you eat anything heavy, woo, watch out, you know? You're in for trouble like that. Because whatever goes in has to come out. So that's why you basically, because coming out is not as easy as putting it in. So therefore, one should be very, very simple. That's also stated in Vasudev Ghosh's Bhajan about Yari Gaura no Hoito, very famous Bhajan in Gaur Purnima. In Shloka 3, he says, Gao Gao Puna Gaurangaraguna Sharilo Korilo Mon. He says, again and again, chant Lord Gauranga's glories, keep your mind very simple. Raghunath Das quoted, it's from Prema Vivarta, quoted in first in the purport of Upadeshamrita Shloka 1. Balana Kaibe Aru Balana Puribe, Ridayete Radha Krishna Sarvata Sevibe. Don't dress luxuriously, eat very simple, and always remember the lordships within the heart of hearts. So, basically, you know, should we do? If you're the president, you got to meet the mayor, then dress in a dress. You have to iron your cloth, you have to be neat and stuff like that. You know, if you're going to have a festival, if there's going to be a Radha Yatra the next day or something like that, you follow. Then you may have to dress up fancy like that. Otherwise, KISS, keep it simple, stupid. You know, eat simply, do simply. And also it mentions in 11th canto that ironing the cloth increases the bodily conception of life. So that's something. So you should try to decrease. Now, Akadasi means to Govinda Smarana, to think of Govinda more. If somebody's got to eat something or sleep something, then you better make sure you're thinking of Govinda a lot more than other people are. So these are some things about it. Now, there is a loophole. Well, Krishna is more chatur than that. Actually, he's not trying to help us cheat. It says if you have to eat something or sleep something, then offer the Lord's neck a tulsi garland made with your own hand. If we shouldn't have tulsi garlands, it would be good. This way, Krishna will be so pleased with you, he'll give you the full results of austerity anyway. The point is that Krishna's trying to help encourage your austerities. Over the years, it's going to be less and less like that. Now, what do you do for the next day? Dwadasi. Well, there's different things. You see what people can do, depending on their situation. There was an interesting thing in Bhakti Vikash Maharaj's book, Traditional Indian Village Life. In 1978, he was in Bangladesh with Prabhupada Vishnu Prabhu preaching. So the people would say, they would ask the Pope, what time are we going to do the program? Well, when the people get here. You know, they're walking 50 kilometers, 100 kilometers away, and they're slowly walking there. When they trickle in, start the program. When's the program end? Well, when the program's over. You know, you know, we walk 50 kilometers, 100 kilometers, we're going to be with the sadhus and sadhvis all night. We're not going back. Hey, wait a minute. That's a big thing. Aren't you worried about your cows? You know, domestic animals. We gave them some grass and water. They're going to cry for bushy grains? Let them cry. Hey, man, aren't you worried about your kids? They got to go to school tomorrow. Kids, you know, we got elder siblings. Take the younger siblings to school. What are we worried? Hey, aren't you worried about your shop? You got to open your shop up. We got so many relatives. Somebody's going to open up our shop. Hey, we're doing a codicil with the sadhus. If there's a will, there's a way. If there's no will, there's no way. You have to be indefatigably determined. How do you do it? Okay, well, if you've got leave, you take leave off from your job. Or you call your boss. Bhava Roga, I'm sick, you know. Oh, take care of your health. Take off a couple of days, you know, like that. Whatever you got to do, take care of your health. Or you delegate your work. You call your worker, you know, hey, look, can you cover for me? You know. I'm going to come to office a couple hours late. You know, can you cover this for me? You like that? If there's a will, there's a way. You know, like that. There are different things different people can do. Now, the cool thing about it, see, on the weekend it's easy. Nah, when it's Friday through Saturday, Friday when a codicil falls on Friday is Saturday. Next year it is on May 24th. It is a Saturday. Could do. That's neat. It's easy to get a lot of people involved when a codicil falls on a Saturday. Now, if it happens on Monday through Friday, then it's a test of your determination. Basically, you just have to make it a big preaching program. Be there or be square. You know, you send a mass, SMS, and emails out to people, and you make it a big... Now, it rolls. As years go on, it rolls. Just like I'll give you an example. Bhakti Ananta Krishna Goswami, 53, Russian sannyasi. In Moscow, in the fourth most expensive city in the world, he's got 150 people in the middle of the week in a yoga club, dancing all night with their buddies. It's possible. It's not that difficult. And if Paramatma reciprocates, see, I did my first one accidentally. It was December 31st of 2010. Turned out to be Safala Ekadasi, New Year's Eve, and I was in Simferopol. So I stayed up all night with 16 Vaishnavas and 16 Vaishnavis, dancing around Gornatai. And the next day, Paramatma reciprocated in the heart better than I've ever seen in my life. It made me think like, my God, where in the hell have I been for 40 years? You know? And if Paramatma reciprocates better than you ever saw before, then who gives a damn for the next day? You know, you're wiped out for 2 hours or 4 hours. Repairing yourself. Who cares, you know? Now, what do you do for the next day? Next day, you're supposed to stay super busy. Whatever you didn't have time to do on Ekadasi, you make time on Dwadasi. That's the idea. So you stay super busy. And, well, if you try to fall asleep, stay away from your bed, and you fall asleep like cows do. There was some bulls. There's some old Congrej bulls that Sanak Sanatan rescued from some slaughterhouse in Rajasthan. And so one of them put his rack, big crown, on the ground and went to sleep, stuck his tongue out. So I asked the Bengali Gaulis, you know, hey, Bail Bimar, hey, can, you know, the bull is sick or something like that. And he laughed and touched the bull, and the bull went boop. He was taking a snap. So basically you do like that. When it comes time to fall asleep, anywhere is okay, you know. And you just get somebody to wake you up, you know. Hey, sit next to me. If I could snap out, it's not more than 10 minutes or something like that. That's a good trick. So we're going to give a few things. Now, this is going to be half of it because we got to stop soon. Or actually, even a third of it. Well, the rest of it, we're going to continue on tonight. Okay? Shukle va. Well, we'll read the Sanskrit later, actually. Anybody who fasts on both the codices and both the light and dark four nights of the month and eats the next day to Dwadasi, Lord Shri Krishna becomes very pleased with him. Full eating is contemned on Ekadasi, and fasting on that day is very pleasing to Lord Krishna. Now, another thing people ask is, what about We're preaching, right?
Yeah, 1%.
In the old days, a lot people were preaching a lot more. Only 1% is preaching now. If you're preaching, then do kolbavas. Eat kolbavas and go out and preach. You know, that's okay, like that. But the preachers, they do a kaddisi many times anyway, because why? Because it purifies yourself. It's going to make your preaching more effective for the next 2 weeks. Any service you do will become more effective. So that's devotional austerity. And it's not bad. I did, you know, many times. I went out in Sangatana preaching when I was young and blazing hot sun. And I did Nirjal anyway. And I managed. I got away with it, you know. When you're a young puppy, it's a lot easier to do those things. What do you do when you're older? When you're older, just stay indoors more. Stay away from the hot sun. Stay indoors more. And it's easier. It's easier that way. All brahmanas, all brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas, shudras, whoever they may be, who fast on ekadasi with full devotion will assuredly achieve liberation. And that is actually pretty neat. There's another one. Didn't matter. You'll see it later on. Didn't matter what you did for your job. You could have been a prostitute or murderer and extortionist. You did it all night ekadasi, you're liberated anyway. From Vishnu Smriti, a human being should never eat an ekadasi day. Even if a woman is going through menstruation, she should not eat an ekadasi. If due to, from Gautamiya Tantra, if due to bewilderment, a Vaishnava eats grains in ekadasi day, whatever merits he attained by worshipping Lord Vishnu becomes fruitless, he falls into hell. Basically, Lord Gauranga said the same thing that was quoted by Jagadananda Pandit in Premavarta from chapter 18. If after taking a vow to observe Dwadasi, one breaks it, he falls into a grievous hell known as Rorava. Any widow who eats grains on the ekadasi day becomes bereft of all her merits, and she suffers the sin of performing an abortion daily. Heavy stuff. Both the ekadasi from the light fortnight and the one from the dark fortnight are equally powerful. All persons who think that both ekadasi are equal are addressed as Vaishnavas. From Hari Bhakti Vilas 12, Devala Rishi speaks, O king, one should never give up fasting on ekadasi, even if it falls on a Saturday, Sunday, or an eclipse day, or on a Sankranti day. Lord, well, it's very, very common. Padma Purana is very common. Shiva Parvati Samvad, extremely common. Conversation between Lord Shiva and Parvati. Oh, dear wife, among all kinds of social spiritual orders, or even a woman, everyone should fast on ekadasi day. This there is no doubt. Srila Sanatan Pad, remarks in Digdarshini Tika, everyone should fast on such an auspicious day as ekadasi. Everyone among all social spiritual orders is said to be authorized to fast on this day. Even Grasa previously said, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, even women should fast. Furthermore, men and women should fast. Shudras and even women have not been rejected to fast on ekadasi. Specifically, even a widow and with his wife and son, either married or unmarried women are authorized to fast. As Manu Maharaj says, evidently Manu Smriti, there is no authorization for a woman to separately perform a fire sacrifice to any fasting. Lord Vishnu says, if any woman's husband is alive, she fasts without asking him. She reduces the duration of life of her husband, attains hell herself. This means a woman has to take her husband's permission to perform auspicious functions. Therefore, it is advised in the Shankalikita scripture, a woman should begin taking vows for spiritual function and fasting by the order of her husband, end quote. Therefore, a Vaishnava understands a Grasa should fast with his wife and children. A Vaishnava should automatically understand the statement regarding women. As stated in Rigmangada, he should fast with his children, wife, and relatives together on ekadasi day. From the age of 8 to the age of 80, a person should fast on all the ekadasis in both dark and light parts of the month. Now, there's an interesting Vaishnava, friend of mine. He's 85. And he says, nobody will say that I'm elderly now. I'm exempt from fasting. No, because to do that, you're opening the doors to your death. Nobody will do that. Nobody will say, I'm old now, I'm dying now. You know, so I shouldn't have to fast. No, we're not going to accept that. Very interesting. One of was a fitness guru who died last year at the age of 96 in his sleep. So at 95, a journalist asked him,
hey, what are you thinking about death? And he goes, bad for my profile. Interesting things, you know. So I really like that. That no Vaishnava of substance, even if he's elderly or she's elderly, will say, I'm exempt now. My age means I'm exempt now. No, they'll never say that. They'll never admit that. Hari Bhakti Vilash from Vishnu Dharmottara. Whether one is a Vaishnava or Shaivite, everyone should fast on Ekadasi day. A child, an old man, or a person unable to fast can take something to eat in the evening or once in the day, whether it be fruit, milk, or water, but should follow Ekadasi fast. One should not give up fasting on Ekadasi. Lord Gauranga said the same thing. If you need to, you could do Kalpavas and like that. Basically, it's out of sight, out of mind. One has to be determined what one's going to do. Jayadvaita Maharaj jokes a lot about this, about a lack of determination. Oh, today is Ekadasi. I should do Nirjal. Then at about 8 o'clock in the morning, your stomach starts to growl. Ooh, maybe I should just eat some fruits and fast half the day. But if I see those Ekadasi preparations, what am I going to do? So basically, if one is weak, out of sight, out of mind, you just avoid. Now, Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, in 7th canto, chapter 15, verse number 22, a song called Paj Jayata Kaman. In that commentary, he says, just like if a Vaishnava is determined to fast on Ekadasi, they can offer Lord Vishnu so many different preparations on Ekadasi, but they can see so much food, but it doesn't disturb their mind. Food is meant for the Hari, not for us. Like that. And you can take Mahaprasadam the next day. Like that. That's the idea. You save it. Now, what do you do? So if something is going to go bad, you stick it in the fridge and eat it the next day, right? Or like that. Grains are not offered to Vishnu. Now, what about our restaurants? Well, any cook worth their salt knows really good Ekadasi preparations. You know, like that. Just like for meat eaters, we're doing soy links, stuff like that, you know? Soy burgers, like this. There's a way around it, you know? There's a way around it if you really know what you're doing. If you don't, if they're having grains in the restaurant, it basically means the cooks are not expert. Why should a Vaishnava distribute Papa Purusha, personified sin, on Ekadasi to people? You know, the Karmis, they're, of course they're eating sin all the time. You know, like that. Why should we encourage them by distributing Papa Purusha to them on Ekadasi? Now, what's interesting, the word anna is sometimes translated as grains. Another translation is anything, any food that sustains is anna. So that's interesting. This means that a Vaishnava and Vaishnavi doesn't eat anything. If you don't eat anything on Ekadasi, you don't have to worry about it. And if the cooks are really expert and they produce all different types of expert preparations, then it becomes a festival on Ekadasi then in your restaurant. You don't need to give grains if the cooks are determined. The cooks are smart. You know? If the restaurant's serving grains, it means that the cooks are just not very expert. That's all. All right. Any person who is diseased, who is predominated by bile, is aged more than 30 years after household life, thereby is to eat in the evening on Ekadasi day. Sanatan Pad remarks in his Tikka, aging more than 30 years means after household life ends. It's understood to be around 60 years of age. So 30 years added to that is 90 years. Furthermore, one should go to the forest at the age of 50. According to this statement, a grihastha's life is said to be 50 years. That is, he has decided to live in his family life until the age of 50. Even then, if one adds 30 years, it becomes 80 years. Therefore, fasting is recommended until a minimum age of 80. Water, fruits, roots, milk, ghee, the request of a Brahmin, the order of a spiritual master, and medicine do not wane one's fast. Very interesting. Request of a Brahmin. Basically, atithi devo bhava, uninvited guest, is considered to be just like God. So there was a story in Bombay in the 1970s, early 70s or so. Prabhupada was being invited by some life member to take prasadam. And he didn't know. So he was serving grains to the devotees. So Hansa Rudra goes, Prabhupada, it's Ekadasi. He goes, we're following tomorrow. we'll observe it tomorrow. Because Prabhupada didn't want to disappoint the host who was serving grains on Ekadasi. You know? Interesting things. Devotee properly initiated in doing devotional service, if he eats on my awakening day, sleeping day, or turning side day, Parivartan Ekadasi, on Ekadasi days, whether it's grains, fruits, or roots, I'll never forgive him for his offense, keeping him in ferocious hell to the end of annihilation of the material world. Hey, you know, preachers, now, do we have to take all this into consideration when it comes to preaching? The preachers should probably take things into consideration according to their ability to do so. Gauranga said that they could do Kalpavasa. Sure, if you're preaching, you can do Kalpavasa. Otherwise, austerity purifies the great souls. As described in Bhagavad Gita 18.3, that austerity should not be given up because sacrifice, charity, and austerity purify even the great souls. So basically, it's like that. Pierce my heart with a sharp spear. Go on. This Ekadasi day was created as supreme medicine to remove the disease of the material world, of having a miserable material mind and body. Not bad. It purifies people. O king, as long as one does not fast on Ekadasi, the day of Lord Ariya, as a lotus navel, until that long, all the sins were remains in one body. Mahari Bhakti Vilas, chapter 12. Neither Ganga, Gaya, Kashi, Pushkar, Kurukshetra, Reva, Vedika, Jamuna, Chandrabhaga, none of them are equal to the day of Lord Hari Ekadasi. O king, even if one fasts on Ekadasi unknown to others, all of his sins are at once burnt and easily attains the spiritual world. There's a funny story. If you look on Amalaki Ekadasi, one hunter saw the king and his citizens serving Krishna all night underneath an amalaki tree. So he was curious. Well, the forest is not like this. What's going on? So he just stood behind a tree and watched what's going on. He didn't go back to his cave. He didn't eat nothing. He didn't sleep nothing. Next birth, he became a king. And one thing it says, a Brahmani who observed Ekadasi became Satyabhama in the next birth. Does any more need to be said? Pretty cool stuff. Okay, we'll just give a few more and then we'll take a couple of questions. O Shonaka, Ekadasi, which is the source of happiness, religiosity, and good qualities, which is the topmost meritorious today, which is the most dear day to the Supreme Lord, Lord of the universe, anybody who takes a vow to fast on this day becomes eligible to be completely liberated from this material world. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments on this verse as follows. The word Kali Ketu means the topmost meritorious day. Ketu means that which is the source of all kinds of happiness. It is stated by the scripture to fulfill all of one's desires. Chapter 12. O son, Narada, whatever merit one achieves by fasting on Dwadasi day, one cannot achieve either by performing horse sacrifice, going to mill and place a pilgrimage to take bath. In Kali Yuga, if someone studies the glories of Dwadasi, Ekadasi, and Ekadasi day, they don't suffer with mental problems and physical disease. Basically, it purifies you, fulfills all your desires, and awards the Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis anything they need, anything they want. So why not? Why not give? Now, everybody needs a vacation, especially your stomach. When you give your stomach a vacation, it purifies all types of toxins and junk out of the body. Like that. It burns it up like that. Like this. It's good. So some Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis will fast once a week, what to speak of once every 2 weeks. So it's not bad. It's good for anybody, you know, like that. To purify yourself. It's not so bad like this. Everything is going to depend on kirtan, though. Because if you have, in the wee hours when it's really hard, you have good kirtaneers, then people can dance all night. And the best kirtaneers on the 24-hour kirtan roster are saved for the hardest part of night. Like that. And if you got trouble sleeping, if you got trouble because your body starts to fall asleep, then you lead the kirtan. Or you play the drum, or you do something. That's the idea. Any person who doesn't fast on Ekadasi and observes other day fasts, he suffers the miseries of performing fast, doesn't attain sufficient results. They only achieve difficulties from fasting and nothing else. Wow. The Supreme Personality of God, who once took a measuring scale, one side put his sacrifices and austerities, etc., the other side, Dwadasi day, and found that Dwadasi is more meritorious. Any person who observes Ekadasi fast with devotion becomes free from all difficulties and sins, and after becoming purified, attains the abode of Lord Vishnu. Any person who fasts on Ekadasi obtains the same form as Vishnu, goes to his abode and lives with him. There are two divisions of Ekadasis, the complete Ekadasi and overlapping Ekadasi. Overlapping Ekadasis are divided into two, beginning overlapping and end overlapping. The beginning overlapping should always be given up. Basically, it's referring to when Ekadasi is mixed with Dasami, the first day, the 10th day. Now, previously, it was described that Dhritarashtra had previously befallen an Ekadasi mixed with Dasami, and therefore all his kids were killed. Why did Sita Devi get banished in the forest? She did an Ekadasi mixed with Dasami, and therefore she got banished. It was described. All right, last one. Ekadasi and Dwadasi are both qualified for fasting. Furthermore, one should fast when Ekadasi is combined with Dwadasi, but should never fast when Ekadasi is combined with Dasami. All right, Hari Bol. Now, does anybody got any questions on anything we've spoken so far? No? All right, Hari Bol. So we're going to just read the rest of this tonight for devotees. It's pretty cool, basically. And this is nice. And, you know, Chaitanya Leela's got this file. We can pass it out to anybody. And it's from Hari Bhakti Vilas. It's nice. And people can look at it. It's cool. Hari Bol.